This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour supersonic soul train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Pittsburgh to Harrisburg, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the
air. They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Glad you're with us on a fine Monday. A lot of football to break down today. A little programming note. I'll give you my thoughts on the protest that happened yesterday, but largely today's show is going to be about the football side of things. I know you'll get these thoughts about the political commentary everywhere. I'll give you mine, but the bulk of today's show will not revolve around that. The bulk of today's show will revolve around what we saw on the field because, frankly, the first 2 weeks of the NFL season were dog food that we finally got a good weekend. You know, if all of this protesting would have happened in the first week or two, maybe we didn't have to talk about the garbage football. But we had a slew of great finishes and great games yesterday, which I want to talk about. We also got to get into the wild weekend that was in the NBA. The Thunder and Sam Presti do it again. And now Dwayne Wade is a free man. We'll get to all of this. You got thoughts, I'm sure, on everything that encapsulated the weekend. So as always, the floor is yours at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. We will have NFL Hall of Famer Mike Haynes join us, one of the great corners in NFL history. He's going to drop on by the studio coming up next hour. We always love having Mike Haynes on. Two of the teams that he used to play for had interesting days yesterday. The Patriots needed a wild comeback to defeat the Texans. They were 2 touchdown favorites in that game. Needed the touchdown by Brandon Cooks, 2 feet in bounds with just 25 seconds to play, just to beat the Texans and a rookie quarterback. Deshaun Watson almost did something nobody's ever done, a rookie QB beating Bill Belichick in Foxborough. And his Raiders team looked like puke last night in Washington. So we'll talk about that coming up with Mike Haynes next hour on the show. Here's my thoughts on what happened yesterday around the NFL. We have entered a vicious cycle. And the cycle is disrespect on all sides. This began months ago, years ago, however it is you want to quantify that. But it does not stop. And if you disliked and still dislike Colin Kaepernick taking a knee for the national anthem or other players doing so, your thought is they are disrespecting the flag or the military or the country. And so for you, you're going, no, pay proper respect. And then the president over the weekend calls these people, those people, our players, American citizens, SOBs, and so he is clearly showing a sign of disrespect towards them. And so what ends up happening is the players then feel disrespected, and so thus they take a knee or interlock more to show unity and the protest, and so this never ends. And then when the players take a knee, the fans that don't like it scream at them, call them names, say stand up and boo them because they feel like they're being disrespected because the flag or the military or the country's being disrespected. And then the players get emboldened even more. And all it does is it keeps spinning us deeper into this hole. We here on the DA show, I'm sure, don't all share the same political opinion, but these are my guys. And I would never, if I disagreed with them, call them names because of it, specifically SOBs, or I would never call for my bosses to fire them. And I do have that power. I can say, I don't agree with him, get him out of here. But I would never do that because I do absolutely believe you treat people the way you want to be treated. When Colin Kaepernick wore pigs for police officer socks last year, I didn't like it at all. At all. Because you can take a stand against what you believe is a deep level of national imbalance in terms of how you are treated. But by being so flippant about police, law enforcement, and using pigs as cartoons on your socks, that is a blatant form of disrespect that I don't think adds anything to this conversation. And so Kaepernick also hurt his cause that way. He's not perfect. But at some point, we have to break the cycle. At some point, you have to break the cycle. You can't just be calling each other names all the time. And to me, when it comes to protesting the flag, at the very essence of it, it is a legal form of American expression. You are allowed silent dissent. You are allowed peaceful protest. And ultimately, that is our very base of the country. So to call law-abiding citizens that are doing something that is well within their rights to do, sit for the national anthem, by calling them a name is just unreasonable, inflammatory rhetoric. And what do you expect? I can tell you this from doing this job. The angrier I am on the radio, the more anger I get back. I get it back from calls. I get it back from tweets. I get it back on social media. Hey, my Twitter feed is not always kind and happy and fun. I take shots at people. I make fun of people. I'm not always the kindest guy. And guess what? Every time I do that, I get it back. You reap what you sow. You have to allow the players to do this because it is their legal right. And if they are law-abiding citizens, calling them a name of ultimate disrespect is only going to create more problems. And you know it went too far when you've got billionaire owners who you know didn't want the Kaepernick and the protest going, yeah, you know what, I stand with the players. Then you know it's gone too far. I said, boy, when you got the billionaire owners even saying, yeah, we stand with the players, then you know it's gone too far. At some point, we all have to break this cycle of disrespect towards all. And you have to respect the players that feel as though this is their voice. It's legal. It's the essence of what we stand for as Americans. And you also have to respect the other side that says, no, the flag means a lot to me. I'll say this, though. If you are really angry at the players that took the protest and took the knee, and you say, well, we shouldn't applaud them, but you're applauding Alejandro Villanueva. That's the hypocrisy here. He should be applauded as well. Alejandro Villanueva is a former Army Ranger and decided not to be inside during the national anthem with his Steelers teammates. You've got to respect him because he said, this is what's in my heart, and you've got to respect the players that sat because that's what's in their heart. Nobody broke the law. Silent dissent, peaceful protest is what we are as a country and should always be. And that's all yesterday has to be, is understanding both sides and respecting what's in everybody's heart. Let's get to your football yesterday. There's only two undefeated teams left, and that's the Falcons and the Chiefs. And my question is, are they actually the best teams in football? Are they great teams, or maybe there aren't great teams? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
First and 10 at the 40, Atlanta and an eye. Coleman and Derek Coleman, Tevin Coleman. Play fake Ryan. Here's Gabriel trying to get the screen set. He'll break free. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Diving for the pylon. Is he in? He's in. Touchdown, Atlanta.
First and 10, Chiefs at their own 31. Kareem Hunt gets it again. The rookie running back cuts back left. He's at the 40. He's at the 40 of Sandy, or the Chargers at the 30, 20, 10, 5. Good night, Chargers. It's a 69-yard run by the NFL's new phenom, rookie Kareem Hunt.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Falcons radio and Chiefs radio on the call. I think the NFL's fun on days like yesterday because we have all these great finishes. I don't think the NFL's fun because we have great football being played. And yesterday was more of that. The Falcons beat a pretty good Lions team on the road, but needed that crazy end of the game and a rule that I don't like at all, the 10-second runoff, because I think the Lions would have gotten another playoff had it been called down at the one. I don't know if the Chiefs are a great team. They're 3-0. They've beaten two good teams to start off the season, then the Chargers yesterday on the road. But do you trust them in the playoffs? I still don't, and I'll have that knot in my stomach for the rest of the season until we get to January, because we know what Andy Reid and Alex Smith's resume is in Kansas City in the postseason. But here's what makes a great football team in the NFL more than anything. Survival. Nobody's going to look great, and so just getting wins, even if they're ugly, is the only thing that really matters. I mean, honestly, for the Kansas City Chiefs, it wasn't beautiful, but you get a 2-touchdown win on the road of the division. That's fine. Chargers were 0-3, so it shouldn't be some great accomplishment. For the Falcons, they beat a pretty good Detroit Lions team, we think, on the road. But if the Lions had one more play to run, they may have beaten them off the goal line. But ultimately, survival is your only metric. Survival is your only metric that counts now. And so I think I've recalibrated my expectations of NFL Sundays. Do I think I'm going to see great football? No. Do I think I'm going to see great teams? No. Can I appreciate when teams get through the gauntlet of challenges and avoid the big pitfall, avoid the big trip up, avoid the big splat? Yeah. And that, to me, is what has separated the Patriots from everybody else. The Patriots haven't been individually a great team. Their best team that they've had of that era was actually the one that didn't win the Super Bowl in 2007. I think you can make the argument that neither 2014 nor 2016 were great teams historically. In fact, if you go through the NFL annals, you would never put one of the five Patriots championship teams in the top five or top 10, maybe, of Super Bowl winners all time. But Belichick, unlike anybody else, is able to survive the gauntlet. He survives like they did yesterday. And Tom Brady has a lot to do with that. But that's the essence of why the Patriots have been so good. Everybody else falls on their face regularly, except the Pats. And the Patriots aren't also a great team, but they're 2-1, and they're positioned fine. I don't think you're going to see great football this year. I don't. At least I haven't seen it yet. But I give the Falcons and Chiefs credit because they've survived. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, if I said the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in football, agree or disagree?
I agree.
You agree?
I agree. When they play defense like that and you have a run game like that, I'm seeing signs of a young Terrell Davis and Kareem Hunt.
He looks awesome.
Looks awesome.
But January comes around, and they're 13-3, and they're the one seed, and you go, yeah, I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
If they're the one seed and the games are in Arrowhead, the problem is I don't trust them to go win in Foxborough again.
But they lost at Arrowhead last year to the Steelers in the divisional round.
I don't care. I think they're better than last year.
Okay. See, I would think that even if the Chiefs are 3-0 right now, I think there's a lot of people that say, well, they're still not the best team in football, even though they have the best resume thus far. And you got to give them credit, but how much faith, obviously, do you have when it matters? It's still really early, but right now it's really about survival. When we come back here on the season, is the Giants' season already over? 0-3, and historically speaking, that's almost impossible to come back from. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's 61 yards. Hold your breath. Ball is spotted. The kick is away. And the kick is... It's good! And the Eagles win!
This is that dream I talked about.
They win!
He's had this dream before.
61 yards! The longest kick in Eagles history!
Well, we put enough points on the board, I felt, to win today. We fell just short. We had a chance. We had a chance to score more. And we didn't handle the ball well enough to do so. We need to go back to work and come up with some more points next week.
That's Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Philadelphia Eagles radio. And then that was Ben McAdoo, owner of the 0-3 record as head coach of the New York Giants. Welcome back. Time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. If you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'Reilly.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. The New York Giants season, if it's not over, it's pretty damn close. I called this an elimination game for the Giants going into that game in Philadelphia yesterday, and for all intents and purposes, the season is over. Now, there have been 0-3 teams that have made the playoffs, but they are few and far between. 0-3 basically means your season is done. And for the New York Giants yesterday, there was one huge issue. The offense has been terrible the first 2 weeks. We all know this. Odell couldn't get off. Eli looked harried. The offensive line has been a disaster. The play calling was stupid. Bad. Looked that same way through three quarters yesterday, and then Eli and Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham and the ground game and the offensive line, everything started clicking, and the Giants put up three touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. And the biggest issue is that the New York Giants finally had today where the offense came to play, at least in the fourth quarter, and gave you enough points to win, because they gave you the lead at 21-14 and then 24-21. And the highly touted Giants defense couldn't hold it. And so what you have with the New York Giants is when one side of the football shows up, the other one doesn't. And on top of it yesterday, coaching blunders, self-inflicted wounds, stupidity on the field. And that will get you beat every time. The New York Giants had about five different moments they probably should have won that game, or at the least gone to overtime. But whether it's a bad delay of game holding a defender calling an offensive lineman, whether it is a shanked punt, whether it is not getting off the field on third down, whether it is trying to run up the middle on fourth and goal and your offensive line is a sieve, not taking the points of the field goal, stepping out of bounds when you're trying to sow clock at the end of the game, Shane Vereen, all of these things could have been avoidable. All of that is avoidable. That's why the Giants are in such hot water right now and why Ben McAdoo seems completely overwhelmed. I think he's overwhelmed as a head coach. Because if you can't get both sides of the football acting in unison, and on top of it, if you can't at least not beat yourself, what are you doing as head coach? If the defense is great and your offense stinks, well, that's a problem. If your offense finally shows life, but then your defense stinks, that's a problem. But if also, on top of it, you're not just executing basic football fundamentals, what do you have? What do you have? And the Giants might be 0-3 and not totally out of it, but what gives anybody any thought, any optimism that suddenly they're going to turn it around when they're going to beat themselves in a day they probably should have won? Last week, Mraz was angry. Last week, Mraz had the tirade, the epic rant. This week, I think he's just a beaten man. Where do you stand today at 0-3?
It's just they invent new ways to lose. If you're going to lose and you're down 14-0, just lose. Don't come back. It's like they invent new ways to lose to the Eagles, whether it's Matt Dodge punting to Deshaun Jackson, and I was shanking another punt yesterday, not getting out of bounds. This John Jerry, who can't block anyone, now suddenly wants to hold on to somebody as they can't get off the field. It just never ends. And then when you're losing, this diva wide receiver goes into the end zone and now wants to celebrate. It's his second touchdown as a team all season in 3 weeks. Just don't understand what's going on here, man. If you're going to lose, lose. Don't pull at my heartstrings, suck me back in, and then just pull me back out to sea. It was like a riptide, rip me out in the middle of the ocean and drown me yesterday.
When the Giants go up 21-14 on the Sterling Shepard touchdown, are you back in?
I'm back in. Ghosts of 07, this is unbelievable. Now we've pounced on Philly. The Giants are going to give it back to them. And the moment that disgrace Eli Apple gives up that pass to Alshon Jeffrey after the offensive pass interference down the line, which shouldn't have been a pass interference anyway, and he lined up, he could have kicked that ball from 85 yards and it was going to be good because that's the way the Giants football goes. I honestly think we signed a deal with the devil. David Tyree makes that catch. Mario Manningham makes that catch. You get your 2 Super Bowls, guess what you get? Nothing but heartache, disgrace, cholesterol levels, and disaster for the rest of eternity. It's the ghost of Mario Manningham now.
Papa Mraz was optimistic after 0-2. Is he finally broken?
Finally broken. Didn't even want to watch the late window yesterday. Went out and cut the grass, argued with my mother about the delivery of a dryer. And that was the end of it. Me and my sister got into a tiff yesterday over laundry. Me and my wife sat there and ate raviolis during halftime of that Bengal-Packer game and just stared at each other and grunted. Didn't say a word to her. She knew not to say a word to me. And I woke up this morning and got told, you need to go to Tampa for a couple days to recheck your attitude.
Well, that's the great irony here, is that you have a trip planned with your family and friends to go see the Giants in Tampa this weekend.
Well, that's the last thing I want to do. I'm going to spend time on the beach, in the pool, and get some last sunshine before summer's officially over. And I could care less what happens to that football game. I'm out. I'm totally out.
You're emotionally checked out.
I'm checked out. Why? Why? And then in 2 weeks, we play the Chargers at one, and they're finally going to beat a bad Charger team, and we're going to sit there and pound our chest. And then when NBC trots them out on Sunday night to get disgraced by Von Miller and the Broncos in 3 weeks, we're just going to have more heartache and more public scrutiny because the Giants are going to be in primetime getting shellacked again. The whole thing stinks. Everything stinks. Brandon Marshall stunk again yesterday. He can't go up and fight for a ball and an interception. Rinse and repeat. The only thing now is somehow we scored points. Poor Eli Manning. Guy finally plays the game of his life, and everybody focuses on the 2 interceptions. How about the comeback? He was like dead freaking for 11 down the fourth quarter. And no run game. Again, 7 yards in the first half. 7 yards. I walked 7 yards to my fridge to get my second beer. That's all we had in the first half running? Come on, man. They stink.
Eat
a season that could have been.
So you will go to this game, Giants at Bucks on Sunday, and you won't even really cheer.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be in. If they score, listen, fourth quarter, if they're about to win their first game of the year, I'll have fun. I'm not going to not have fun. I'm there. But the emotional, like, being into it, why? Why invest? I got 10 days till the Rangers drop the puck. The Yankees are in a wild card game. I got plenty of other things to focus my time on. Chicago Fire is coming back next Thursday. I think we got This Is Us tomorrow. So at least some of our, you know, our full shows are back. And away we go.
Week 3, you're already checked out. Football season.
It's not even October 1st. You know, who cares? Thanksgiving. They play Thanksgiving night this year. Thanksgiving night. After 3 pieces of pudding pie, I'm going to sit there on Thanksgiving night and watch Josh Norman shut them down completely? What a happy holidays. They made him look like the 85 Bears.
When we come back, it was a bad day for the officiating around the NFL. I will give you my bottom 3 moments of the refs coming up here next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
If you don't have a timeout left, you're going to get a 10-second runoff. If you have a timeout left, you can prevent that runoff at the end of the game and give up that timeout. But without any timeouts, they ran off the time of the clock, which was 8 seconds remaining, and game's over.
Would you have been able to get the playoff if they would have called it right?
Certainly, we're practicing all this time.
Jim Caldwell not happy the way that the Lions game ended. Doing more is brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything that you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Tom Brady. How about Brady's comeback yesterday? 378 yards, 5 touchdowns. That throw to Brandon Cooks with 23 seconds left on the clock to put the Patriots ahead and win the game 36-33. Brady, 5 TDs, no interceptions, the 6th time he's done that. That's one behind Drew Brees for most in a career. I didn't like the officiating yesterday in the NFL. Now, I understand with that many games, inevitably there's going to be some bad calls. That many moments in that many close games, the odds say there's going to be some bad calls. But 3 bothered me. 3 specifically bothered me. And we'll start with that one. In Detroit, Golden Tate is called in for the touchdown. Lions are going to win. And Matthew Stafford's 4th quarter heroics are going to continue. Stafford's great in those spots. He led the Lions right down the field. And that is a good throw right on target to Golden Tate. And 6 inches farther in, and the Lions beat one of the best teams in football and are 3-0. And instead, because it's 6 inches short, we go to review, clock is stopped, Booth reviews it, and they got the right call, seemingly, that Tate was down. But because there's only 8 seconds left on the clock at that moment, there's a 10-second runoff, and thus the Lions lose. Now, this sucks because had they just called Golden Tate down at the 1, which was the proper call, the Lions have a chance to get another playoff. And I think they would have with 8 seconds because they're only running 10 yards, maybe less. It's a short slant pattern. It's over the kind of the middle. And then, boom, it's done at the 1 oomph line. They've just got to run up. It's 4th down, throw it into the end zone or run a play. Quarterback sneak. It might have been tight with 8 seconds, but it's at least a possibility. If it's 3 seconds, no, the Lions aren't going to get another playoff. If it's 1 second, the game is obviously over. But with 8 seconds, it's possible that they get another playoff. I mean, it's less than 10 yards. They basically throw it from the 7, and it's down at the 1. So the offensive line and the wide receivers just have to get back to the 1 for one more play. I think that sucks. The runoff called appropriately last night or yesterday is 10 seconds. The runoff should be 5 seconds. You've got to give offenses more than 5 seconds, but less than 10 to get a playoff. So I thought that was stupid. Again, not the officiating's problem, but if it's not called a touchdown on the field, then the Lions get to run another play. The only way that that is reviewed is if it's a scoring play, right? I mean, so basically what the Lions are saying, it hurt us to be down at the 1 instead of the 2. If we're down to the 2, we get another play. If we're down to the 1, we get screwed. And that's not the way that that should go down. So the NFL should change the runoff rule to 5 seconds. Number 2. Odell Beckham gets the 15-yard fine, 15-yard penalty for urinating like a dog in the end zone. Let me start with this. Odell is a brat. Okay, Odell, in a game that you're losing, in a game where the offense has been dreck for the first 2 weeks on a team, and then the first half, you've done nothing. 3 quarters, the Giants offense could do nothing. So two games in 3 quarters, nothing. Odell finally scores a touchdown and needs to urinate like a dog in a fire hydrant. Again, Odell is maddening because he is so good. Those 2 touchdowns he caught yesterday were phenomenal ability. Both of those, a lesser wide receiver, it's out of bounds, no touchdowns. Both of those catches are great. Body control. I mean, no wide receiver has the body control that he does. Hands, body control, balance, 2 feet. He's amazing. And specifically the second touchdown, where with one hand he bobbles and corrals it and hauls it in and gets 2 feet in bounds, is outrageous. He is phenomenal. But in the heat of the moment, what takes over? Odell Beckham needing to be Odell Beckham. And so instead of the comeback or trying to win a football game, he's got to be on all fours and pee like a dog. Maddening. But we're throwing a 15-yard penalty on that? I thought that we were now encouraging creative demonstrations. I thought the NFL is now loosening its grip on 15-yarders. So you say, well, that's in poor taste. Well, who is the gatekeeper of taste now on celebrations? How can you tell the NFL players, you know what, we want you to have fun. Go out there, be yourself. We know the kids like this stuff. We want to be a more fun league. Let's do fun stuff in the end zone. And then you go, no, sorry, too much fun. Like, what's the line? The line is supposed to be overtly sexual celebrations get a penalty. Well, what's sexy about peeing like a dog? Because it's a bodily function? Well, then include that. Okay, so can't be overly sexy and no bodily functions. But the NFL, again, is making it up as it goes along. Like, you're going to say, well, what about the kids? What about the kids? What about the kids? What, if your 8-year-old caught a pass in the backyard and lifted his leg like a dog, would they be grounded? I mean, that would be the least of my parents' worries about the three of us demons that they raised, honestly. The only thing they had to worry about was me, my younger brother, and my younger sister raising a leg like a dog. That would have been a really good day around the Amendolara household. Really good. My mom and dad would have been like, you know what? Today was great. Okay? Great. Those little gargoyles didn't break anything. They didn't punch each other. They didn't scratch each other's eyes out. They didn't curse. They didn't break like a window. All they did was they peed like a dog. Great day. Honey, great day. They survived. Nobody got thrown off a third-story ledge. It's great. Terrific. Nobody took a rock to the head. Tremendous. So where is the line of taste here? Now, okay, have fun. Oh, but that's sexual. Well, it's not really sexual. It's just, it's like, you're like peeing like a dog, and like, that's not cool, and so that's got to be a flag. Who decides this? And number three, the one that bothered me the most. Von Miller fakes like he's going to bring up, hold up, pull up Tyrod Taylor and pulls his hand away, and that's unsportsmanlike conduct? That's unsportsmanlike conduct. These are grown men. These are 20, 30, and in Tom Brady's case, 60-year-old men, and they're not allowed to do a psych. Not helping you up. That's a 15-yarder in a spot in the game that is going to potentially decide the game? This is a game of violence. This is a league of large men smashing into one another. This is a league of speed, of collision, of aggression, of anger, of violence. And if Von Miller doesn't help up Tyrod Taylor, it extends their drive and the Broncos will lose? You got to be kidding me. Could you imagine what Dick Butkus or Jack Lambert or Night Train Lane would get these days? I mean, do you think maybe once ever Dick Butkus didn't help up the quarterback? And did like a, nah, sorry, man. Stay down there. I mean, Jack Lambert stood over a Dallas Cowboys running back and shoved his helmet back into his face. Would he get kicked out of the game? These are grown men. Let them, in a game of violence, do what they got to do. Within boundaries, obviously, but that's a 15-yarder? What are we doing? Look, I'm all for safety, eliminating headshots, trying to limit concussions. We can all get behind that. But now, it's got to be, you've got to have good deeds on the field. You've got to have good decorum. I mean, come on. Come on. And you know what the real problem is? Is the problem is social media. Is that because Von Miller pulling away his hand can be replayed on loop on all of our phones for the rest of the day and the rest of the week and the rest of the year, the NFL goes, oh. Like, if that happens in the heat of battle in 1978, that doesn't get a flag. Because nobody's worried about good decorum on the field. I mean, that's a 15-yarder. That's a 15-yarder. So what's better is if Von Miller takes an elbow, smashes it into Tyrod Taylor, pummels him to the ground, steps over him, and doesn't extend a hand. Then, okay, we're okay. But if he hits him, extends the hand, and then pulls it away like, nah, sorry, bro. Oh, whoa, you look like you're going to be polite, but then you weren't polite. If you had just not pretended, like the fake polite's even worse than the no polite. Come on. Come on. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Michael tweets, at least the Giants have those Super Bowls. Us Lions fans don't have anything and still get the raw deal of calls and the NFL rulebook. I mean, seriously, think about how many well-publicized times the Lions have just been totally gutted by the rulebook. Calvin Johnson, touchdown, no touchdown. The phantom flag in that Cowboys game. That Cowboys playoff game that they lose on, the fail Mary against the Seahawks, and now yesterday the runoff, the 10-second runoff. I mean, any one of those, you know, if you were a Boston team, you could write a book on and make a lot of money. Any one of those, the curse of the 10-second runoff, the curse of the fail Mary, the curse of the phantom flag, the curse of the Calvin Johnson rule. Senor Pant Leg tweets, and I appreciate that that name. The Giants showed a pulse yesterday. I'm still holding out hope. Well, I mean, at what point does the hope finally end? Is it at 0-4? Because if they lose in Tampa Bay, it's got to be officially over, right? Chester's in Indianapolis listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1430. What's up, Chester?
Hey, how you doing, DA?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Tell Mirage when he goes to Tampa, go to Krabby Bill's and get a big bucket of those crab claws and a big bucket of water and just soak in and enjoy the sun.
Okay, you anyway, got that, Mirage? Krabby Bill's.
Krabby Bill's, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Krabby Bill's down here in Clearwater. But anyway, how about Josh McCown? Is this guy, I mean, I threw him under the bus when he first signed him, so now he's throwing, what, 70%? I mean, it's just like, it's unheard of. And do we have any kind of hope? Any kind of hope, DA. Thanks.
All right, man. I think that the New York Jets are in this terrible spot where yesterday they beat a Dolphins team, which we will talk about, should be totally humiliated. The fact that they went to New York to take on the Jets and the Jets pummeled them all day and that Jay Cutler looked like such dog food, they should be humiliated. The Jets are an impossible situation where the head coach wants to win to keep his job, but the organization doesn't really want to win so that they have a high draft pick. Josh McCown hasn't been terrible. Let's give him credit. I mean, yesterday he wasn't great, but he certainly wasn't terrible. He had 250 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. That's all you need. But it's not like the first 2 weeks he was great. Against the Bills, he only threw for a 187, no touchdowns and two picks. Against the Raiders in that loss, he had two touchdowns, no interceptions, but less than 170 yards passing. I think for Josh McCown, he's fine right now. I don't understand why you're not starting a second-round draft pick that you have drafted at quarterback, Christian Hackenberg, to potentially be the future. I mean, to me, it makes absolutely no sense because what's the worst that can happen? He's awful. And you lose, well, you're basically trying to lose anyway. I think for the Jets, look, yesterday defensively they were very, very good and did enough. I don't think you'll have many days like that. The Dolphins just didn't show up. The Dolphins decided we will not show up for this game. It is too hot. You're from Miami. Sorry, just too hot. It's too hot out here. I mean, it was brutally hot in New York. It was crazy for September. Record highs topped out in the 90s. Never happens in late September in New York. But give me a break. I mean, the Dolphins just absolutely looked like they were disinterested, didn't care, didn't want to be there. Can we get back on the bus where it's air conditioned? This is too hot. You're from Miami. When we come back here on the show, another crazy weekend in the NBA. Did the Knicks get enough for Carmelo? Are the Thunder legit contenders? And where does Dwayne Wade now end up now that he's been bought out in Chicago? A lot of action plus more football. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.